while traveling through this world of song. I'm on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back for Sunday morrow. My trials here, I'll understand. I want to know more about my Jesus.
Would go ahead and turn to, we're going to start out in John chapter 15. So I want to say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. Thank you, congregation. Just as a heads up, I'm a little bit nervous about my first Sunday here, so you'll have to bear with me. Also, I have a lot of notes, and I have had far too much caffeine than I should. So this could either go really long or really fast. So I don't know what to tell you. We'll just have to play it by ear. I know most are hoping for the faster side of things, but you know, we'll just see what happens. So, all right. So John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 9 through 17. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, and that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I commanded you, that ye love one another. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here and just share what you put on my heart, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord. Use me as a vessel, and I pray that only what your will be said today, Lord, and I pray that it may be a blessing to somebody here. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so in this passage, we have a command and an example. So in verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So the command is love one another, love your brother. And that's a, you know, when you look at Christianity, that's a general consensus of what it is to be. We are to love one another. We are to love people. And the example is, as I have loved you. So we have Christ, what he did on the cross, as an example of how we are to love other people. So you look at a sacrificial love. You look at an unconditional love. Today, when we think about the love of God in our current cultural and political climate, there's a lot of things nowadays that get said about the love of God. And with a lot of these things, there's a lot of times you see things that are not a lie 100%, but they're also not the truth. They kind of mix things, twist words to support their side of things. One side of things that we see is what's really popular right now, the new, Jesus loves me no matter what I do. He accepts me as I am, so I can live however I want and do whatever I want because Jesus loves me and accepts me for who I am, and it's all hunky-dory. Well, that is not wrong. Jesus does love us and accepts us as we are, and he wants us to come to him as we are. So again, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to say that Jesus loves everybody and accepts everybody to come to him as they are. Where it gets twisted is when it goes into that just because Jesus loves and accepts me for who I am, I can accept Christ as my Savior, and he's okay with my sin. So they take an idea of Jesus loving everybody and apply it to their sin as well, and that he accepts that. The other side of it is when you see a lot of Christians, whether you want to say Christians or Christians in air quotes, either one. It happens in both cases. You see Christians say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever is already a generally good person, thinks, looks, and acts the way I do, and already kind of has the Christian lifestyle down, that's who God wants to save." And we may not say that directly. I doubt anybody in this room has ever looked at somebody and said, "Well, you're not good enough to be a Christian." It kind of defeats the purpose of that statement. But we do it inerrantly. Now, there are some people that openly say things like that, but a lot of times we do that subconsciously. We will take a certain group of people or people that look look a different way or play a different part, and we in our minds say, "Oh, well, they're too far gone to be saved. They've done too many drugs. They got too many tattoos. They don't think the way I do. They're too far gone. God won't save them." And so again, we look at this and say, "Well, it's because of their wretched sins and they're all damned to go to hell because of their terrible sins that they've committed." Again, so on this side too, partially true. A lot of the sins, and a lot of times when we look at people that we kind of set aside as God doesn't want them, they are people that are in categories that, they've done some pretty bad stuff. They have committed sins and live lifestyles that are completely contrary and purposefully opposing God's will and how God wants us to live our lives. So it is true that they are on their way to hell, but they're not on their way to hell any more than the little kid that gets that isn't saved, that's lied and stole some candy or a cookie out of the cookie jar. It's all still sin. So while yes, that's true that their sin is sending them to hell, and that they're not living correctly, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. So we see the two different sides. So today I want to look at, from the Bible, what the love of Christ really is. Paul describes it as surpassing knowledge. So it's something that we'll never fully understand what it means to love like Christ did, and what it means to have that kind of love. It's not possible for us. So we'll look at a few things. Now, just as a heads up, I've got a lot of passages in here. For time's sake, I'm not necessarily going to have you turn to all of them. I'm just going to read through them. Our opening passage will just kind of get the ball rolling, get us on a thought process. So, all right. So the first thing we're going to look at is his love is unmerited. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So first we see this is a love that we had no part in this love. This is God loving us, not because we loved him, but just because he loved us. We'll go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So here we see again, this is where we talk about the love that we can't understand. This love surpasses our knowledge. It surpasses what our understanding is, because even when we reject Christ, or as a believer, we disobey him or we sin against him, he still loves us. It's called grace. It's an unmerited love from God to a rebellious creation. You love somebody, and you show love somebody. If they don't return that love back, typically, unless it's your kids, because you kind of have to, typically you stop loving them because they're not returning that love. So it's human, and that's human nature. Again, when it comes to kids, typically it's a little different, because that's, you know, again, in our nature to love our kids for the most part. This is a love that we can't understand. It's unmerited. It was given to us. We're a people that we didn't deserve his love, and we didn't deserve for him to transform and change us into new creations. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 2, it says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." So when you think of God's love, he comes to us at our lowest point, and wherever we are, he comes to us and brings us up because of that love. Again, not because we deserve it, but simply because he loves us. The second thing, his love is unlimited. So God loved us, he forgave us, or he forgives us, and he does that without limit. In Revelations chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from Christ Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And then in Luke 23:34, it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So when you think of the passage in Luke, this is a passage talking about the people who were crucifying Jesus Christ. When you look at the history of the crucifixion, it is known as one of the most painful, awful, most humiliating ways to die. It's actually where we get the root for the word excruciating. It comes from crucifixion. So going through all that pain, still in that, he loved them despite of that, and was actually asking his Father to forgive them. So it's an unlimited love. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So when we think of that verse, a lot of times, as believers, it's easy to think of that verse, "For God so loved the world that whosoever." So we think of that verse, typically when I think of it, I'm thinking of a evangelistic standpoint. That's something I want to read to somebody when I'm trying to witness or win them to the Lord, because it's God so loved the world. He loved everybody. But I think we tend to take that verse and we look at the world and we turn it into an impersonal verse. We turn it into God loves the world. And you know, we get saved, but then in every church you have people that fall back into sin. They have struggles. They just because we're saved doesn't mean we're perfect. So they fall back into their old ways, and we forget that no matter what we've done, and that's what the verse says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever." So it doesn't matter what you've done. God died for you, but that verse also means that whosoever in the world also covers everything we do moving forward. So we kind of take that and we put conditions on God. We put limits on God's love. We say, "Oh well, you know, I can't serve. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't do this because I didn't live right when I was younger. I got saved too late, and I've done too many bad things. So the Lord can't use me. He forgave me for my sins that I committed, but I'm too broken. I'm too damaged." So we put limits on God's love. There was a Norwegian explorer that went to the Arctic Ocean, and he was trying to measure the depth of the Arctic Ocean. And he got there the first day, and he took his line, and he starts dropping it into the ocean, dropping it, and he ran out of line. On that first day, he wrote in his journal, he had the measurements, and it said deeper than that. The next day, he went out, he added a little bit of line to his rope, and kept going, did the same thing. And on the next day, he wrote the new measurement and put deeper than that. And he did this and continued to go throughout. And what he found was that the only thing he knew about the depth of the Arctic Ocean was it was deeper than he could measure or he could understand. And that's how we have to remember. That's what we have to look at God's love. God's love goes beyond anything we can understand. And again, it's human nature to think, "Oh, I've done these things, so I'm disqualified to be loved by God or to serve him." But we have to remember that God's love goes beyond what we can understand. Next, we look at his love is unselfish. Christ was selfless. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord cometh, who both will bring to light hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, in a figure transferred to myself. I have the wrong passage written down there. I apologize. All right, well, we'll skip that. I wrote down the wrong passage. So we'll skip that passage for now. Okay. So we look at Jesus as being selfless. So Jesus is the perfect example of selflessness. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So we see his love is selfless. Christ was selfless. Next, we see that he seeks the best for us. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And then in John 10, 10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So we see that God seeks the best for us. A lot of times when we think of the Christian life, thank you to whoever turned that on. It's a little toasty. When we look at the Christian life, a lot of times, and it's really our fault, Christians, people have this image of, you're a Christian now, you're saved from hell. All right, now go sit in your corner and pout and be sad because life's terrible and everybody hates you and you're not rich like all the lost people and you don't have all these nice things. That's kind of the image that a lot of lost people see when they see Christianity, because that's the image we give them. Because we pout when things don't go our way. And we think that, God just, he's not blessing me right now. Well, he's probably blessing you just in ways that you're not paying attention to. But we see in the Bible, it says in John 10, 10, it says, "And that they may have it," and says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus does want us to have a fulfilled life. It just may not be the fulfilled life that we see in Hollywood, that we see in the world. There are many times that we're blessed beyond what we can imagine. We just don't see it because we're looking at it through the wrong lens. That's right. But he seeks the best for us. Next, we see he sacrificed his all for us. In John 15, 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then in 1 John 3, 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So again, we see that Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for us out of love. The next point is his love is unreviling. So if you look at 1 Peter 2:23, we'll go ahead and turn there. Doing okay on time. So 1 Peter 2:23. It says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So, again, this is talking about the crucifixion, when they beat him and mocked him and nailed him to a cross. He didn't strike back. He didn't fight back. I'm telling you right now, if somebody tries to nail me anywhere, that they'd better have a couple really big guys that have high pain tolerances. You know, and we think of, you know, of Jesus. Jesus is God. You know, that nobody could nail him to that cross. He allowed them to. He gave himself. So when we see that, his love is unreviling. It's a giving love. And again, it goes into what we don't understand. Returning good or nice things for somebody doing something nice to you, that's natural. That's, you know, that's just how it works. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's human nature. But returning good for evil, that is something that is not in our nature. It is very hard to do. Somebody punches me on the cheek. I know I should turn the other cheek, but it would be very hard not to turn the other cheek with a fist behind it. Yeah. You know, that's human. I'm a human. If somebody hits me, I'm, you know, probably going to hit back. But again, that's not the kind of love that Christ showed us. And then the final thing is his love is unending. So Christ's love never fails. Amen. It's eternal. Nothing anybody can do can cause him to give up on us, can cause him to give us up. In Romans 8:38 through 39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So that right there tells us that covers everything. That covers physical, spiritual, everything. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is eternal and it is unfailing. You know, a lot of times we read that verse and we think, "Amen." You know, that Satan can't get to me. You know, Satan can't take me away from God. And you know, nothing man has in their power can ever take me away from God. You know, God has me. That's it. Said and done. And then we'll turn around and say, "Ah, God doesn't love me as much anymore. I told a lie." Or, "I've been struggling with this sin or this addiction, and I can't kick it. God must not love me as much, or he can't love me. I'm out of God's power because I'm failing him." When you we think, you know, like Peter, you know, Peter lied about being one of the disciples, and Thomas doubted Christ, and Judas betrayed him, and we think, "Well, God can't love me because I did X, Y, Z." Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what you do, because in the verse we just read, it says, "Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." We're any other creature. There is no power on earth or in heaven that can take us away from God. And that's something, no matter what your life has been like, what you've done before you got saved or after you got saved, it doesn't matter, because God still loves you and nothing can change that. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So, in conclusion, we've looked at the fact that when it comes to Christ's love, his love is unmerited, it's unlimited, it's unselfish, it's unreviled, and it's unending. Again, believers, we have to remember that when it comes to God's love, it doesn't end when we get saved. God continues to love us, and his forgiveness continues throughout. Now, obviously, no, we should not just live however we want to because Jesus is just going to forgive us. There's a whole lot that goes into that aside from just that, but God continues to love us, and that love won't ever change. And then we have, there may be some in here today that, maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe somebody's watching. I encourage you to talk to somebody today. Again, you may be thinking the same thing. I've done too many bad things for God to love me. The way I live my life is beyond repair. Nothing can be done about it. Well, you have to remember that God's love is unlimited. It has no limit. We talked about the fact that when they were crucifying Jesus Christ, that he was forgiving them as they were doing it. That Judas, the one that betrayed him, the soldiers that ripped his beard off of his face, that beat him with a club with a crown of thorns on his head, as they were doing that, he was forgiving them. And you say, God, I can't, I'm too far gone to be saved because I've got this addiction. And Jesus says, I don't care. And you say, oh, well, I can't kick this habit, or I've done all these bad things. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. It's forgiven. I already took care of it. On the cross, I said, it is finished. Amen. That means it's over. It's done. So, again, if you are here, or maybe if you're listening, I beg you, please, today, reach out to somebody or come during the invitation and ask somebody about how you can accept Christ as your Savior and how you can know that love that is beyond understanding. Amen. Amen. So, Brother Jones, if you can come for the invitation. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. And I thank you for your salvation. I know many times we take it for granted, Lord, and we set it aside. We put limits on it, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with this invitation today, Lord. I pray that if anybody has something to deal with, Lord, whether it's salvation or just something that they need to deal with in their heart, Lord, I pray that you would urge them to come, Lord. And I pray that you would just help us as believers to remember what you did on the cross for us, Lord, and just remember the love that you gave for us. We ask all this in your name. Amen.